Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, September 16th. This is Susan Over. We will begin this portion with Council to Hear Financial Report, Normal. Normal is in good fiscal shape but has a few lingering problems. Staff members plan to tell the City Council. The town graded positively in 21 of 28 areas on its annual financial trend and condition report, a document compiled by staff to show how well Normal is doing and where it might improve in the future to be presented tonight. While three of the seven negative areas are community growth measures the town has little control over, airport usage, construction building permits, and county workforce, officials may want to focus on health insurance costs, fire and police pension funding, and utility tax revenue, according to the report. Quote, things are performing how we thought, or a little better. A nice surprise is we saw an uptick, in airport usage, end quote, said Finance Director Andrew Hune. Hune will present that report and additional details, including about the town's dwindling health and dental insurance fund balance. That fund has tanked in the last 3 years from $2.32 million to $940,000 after holding steady over the previous 6 years. Quote, basically, the cost of health care is really increasing a lot, said Hune. We are seeing a huge increase in specialty drug utilization. These are life-saving drugs produced by pharmaceutical companies that are incredibly expensive. That has gone up 130% in our costs, and that's not going away, end quote. In response, premiums increased 11% for employees and the town in next year's health insurance plan. A low deductible option was eliminated. City Manager Pam Reese said the town continues to work with Orland Park-based broker, the Horton Group, on solutions. Hune said pension costs and utility tax are tougher to solve. The town hoped to hit 100% funding of pension costs by 2040. When municipalities will be required by the state to hit 90%. But its funding percentage increased to only 61.84% for fire and fell to 55.88% for police. The town funds its pension obligations through property taxes, which increased every year from 2006 to 2018, but fell this year. Quote, the reality is we are not going to likely make that 2040 goal unless the markets turn around massively. But there is also discussion at the state level about pushing out that year, said Reese. Hune said consolidating pension funds has also got some merit. End quote. Utility tax could also require state intervention, said Hune. That tax, currently $4.1 million per year, is driven by areas where spending is declining due to new technology, television, cable television to be exact, electricity, natural gas, and telephone bills. Hune said the town considered instituting a streaming tax on online entertainment as Chicago has, but decided against it. Illinois leaders considered a similar tax statewide this summer. Hune also expects to present additional information about the town's income tax revenue, which is funneled through the state. That area was flipped from negative to positive this year, the only area to change from 2018 to 2019. Strong areas include the water fund and sewer fund due to rate increases. Normal City Council meets at 7 p.m. tonight on the fourth floor at Uptown Station. In other business, the council will consider spending $112,000 to buy body camera video storage, protection, and professional services through New York-based Presidio Networked Solutions. The Normal Police Department has used the cameras for all officers since August of 2018, and videos are using more space than expected, said Reese. End of article. Flick fact. Question. What a difference 60 years makes. A recent survey carried out by Illinois Department of Health found that about 13% of residents in McLean County smoke. What was the percentage in 1958 when then Mennonite Hospital did a similar survey? Answer. Back in 1958, almost three-quarters, or 72% of McLean County smoked, according to the Mennonite study. End of flick fat. She Said Show tells women's stories. Bloomington. A one-night performance at the Castle Theater will feature 10 Bloomington Normal women who will share stories of their lives. That's What She Said will be held at 7:30 p.m. on September 27th, which is next Friday, at the theater located at 209 East Washington Street, Unit 1 in Bloomington. 7:30, 209 East Washington Street, Unit 1, Bloomington. That program is run for 5 years in Champaign-Urbana. Quote, there is great power in the telling and hearing of stories, said show director Jeanette Jersick. The She Said Project is about creating a platform to raise women's voices, to create human connections through empathy and compassion. Local participants include Sally Brumfield, Minu Bhaskar, Lana Branch, Amber Cook, Laura Lamberti, Genevieve Pilon, Feli Sebastian, and Vera Traver. Kara Kirk will MC. Juno is guest artist. I know firsthand I wouldn't be where I am today without the support of the women in my life, said Brumfield, who is vice president and branch manager for Busey Bank. I am so excited to share a part of my story with the women in my community. End quotes. Proceeds will support the YWCA McLean County, including YWCA Labyrinth Outreach Services to Women. Gently used sneakers and running shoes will be collected in the theater lobby and donated to local agencies and the Share Your Souls Foundation. The presenting sponsor is Christie Clinic. The tickets are $25 and they are available at bit.ly/TWSS19BN. Again, and they put the http://bit.ly/TWSS19BN. End of article. Keys of Hope Fundraiser Plan, Bloomington. The International Interior Design Association is hosting a fundraiser for National Suicide Awareness Month. Keys of Hope, Designing for a Brighter Future is set for 5:30 to 10 p.m. on September 20th, which is a Sunday, at the Castle Theater in Bloomington. Dueling Pianos by the Fun Piano Show will play from 7 until 9 p.m. Those funds raised will support suicide prevention programs of Project Oz and the NAMI Ending the Silence program. The event includes food vendors, a silent auction, and sweepstakes drawings. Tickets are $20 in advance at eventbrite.com. $20, eventbrite.com. But they will be $25 at the door. End of article. Danvers Church to celebrate 190 years. First Presbyterian Church in Danvers will celebrate its 190th anniversary on September 28th and 29th with a cemetery walk and special worship services. That's a Monday and, whoops, wrong place. That is a Sunday and Monday. Okay, I had to turn the page back. The cemetery walk is 9 a.m. September 28th. There is a special worship service at 10 a.m. on September 29th at the church with former pastors participating. Again, the cemetery walk is 9 a.m. on September 28th at Stouts Grove Cemetery, which is located about 1.5 miles west of Danvers on Old Peoria Road. Visitors will be led by a costume guide to see and hear characters portrayed by church members. One of the oldest cemeteries in the county, this cemetery has graves of many of the church founders and veterans of the American Revolution and every war since. End of articles. Illinois Wesleyan to name Gateway in honor of donors. A set of gates at Illinois Wesleyan University will be named in honor of the family who sold land to the school some 165 years ago. That campus gateway at the Presser Hall sidewalk across from Evelyn Chapel will be named the Phoenix Gates to honor Carol Pettigo Phoenix, 67, her late husband, John Phoenix, and the Phoenix family legacy. The October 5th dedication will be part of homecoming festivities. Quote, "It makes me feel really terrific to do something to help preserve the land and the value of education and art for future generations," Carol Phoenix said, end quote. Much of Illinois Wesleyan's campus was built on a 10-acre plot sold to the university by Franklin K. Phoenix, then owner of Phoenix Bloomington Nursery in 1854. Franklin K. Phoenix was the great-grandfather of John Phoenix. That name is already associated with a pair of endowed scholarships established by Carol Phoenix. The Carol Pettigo Phoenix Year 67 graduation and John Phoenix Endowed Scholarship goes to a student majoring in environmental studies. The Yenerich Pettigo Phoenix Endowed Scholarship for the School of Music goes to a student majoring in string, piano, or voice. Carol and her sister, Julia Pettigo, 74, are IWU legacies of their mother, Ruth Yenerich Pettigo, 34. Quote, "I felt a special connection with Illinois Wesleyan when I was in school," Carol Phoenix said. "I felt understood and appreciated and connected and alive with like-minded people to learn with and perform with and discover with that I hadn't had before," end quote. Phoenix pursued a career in music, both as a performer and teacher, after her Illinois Wesleyan graduation. She later met and married John Phoenix, but neither knew the connection between his family and her alma mater. "It was President Minor Myers, Jr. who really connected all those dots," Carol Phoenix said. "We discovered all this together. I can't tell you how exciting it was." End of article. 4-H honors area families. Livingston County Woman, 98, inducted into the Hall of Fame. Bloomington. Two Pantograph area families have been honored by the Illinois 4-H community. At age 98, Catherine Frisbee of Avoca was selected as the Class of 2019 inductee into the Illinois 4-H Hall of Fame, participating in the Illinois 4-H Foundation celebration at this year's Illinois State Fair in Springfield. She was presented with a medallion during that program at the Orr Building. In addition, the descendants of Peter and Anna Moore, M-O-H-R, of McLean County, were honored as the Illinois 4-H Foundation Family Spirit winners. 4-H, quote, "has been a part of Catherine Frisbee's life for over 90 years. In 1929, at age 8, she joined the 4-H Club in the rural Livingston County community of Avoca. Through that organization, she gained much more than learning about sewing, darning, and cooking," the Livingston County Extension Office said in its nomination, end quote. Frisbee and several other local teens loved their 4-H experience so much they continued to meet as part of a rural youth program. Once the members started getting married, they formed the County Couples. That group created and operated a food stand at the county fair, donating their proceeds to the local 4-H program. Decades later, the Country Couples continued to meet regularly, participating in educational programming. Frisbee and her late husband, George, had three daughters, all of whom continued the 4-H tradition. Frisbee was a teacher in Fairbury for many years, then she started a program for children with special needs in Peoria before returning to the area. After staying home for 13 years to raise a family, Frisbee taught at Fairbury's Westview Elementary School, currently Prairie Central Elementary, until retirement. McLean County. Peter Moore came to America from Germany in 1857 and married Anna. Their children, Jacob, Anna, Emmanuel, Maggie, William, Iva, and Elmer, were raised in McLean County. Jacob's daughters, Laura and May Moore, born in 1896 and 1906 respectively, led the Silver Leaf Let's Go Girls 4-H Club for 40 years. Jacob's daughter-in-law, Alice Moore, led a club for 15 years. In total, 75 family members are affiliated with 4-H. Combined, they share 530 years of membership, 303 years of club leadership, and 368 years of volunteer services to 4-H. End of article. Area calendar. Registration Tinker Lab, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. on October 3rd, which is a Thursday. Bloomington Public Library Story Room. Registration is required and space is limited. It is for grades 3 to 5. You may call 309-828-6094. 309-828-6094. Registration Beginner Spanish Language Class, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. on October 5th, which is a Saturday. Bloomington Public Library Community Room. This is for ages 7 through adult. Registration is required and space is limited. Call 309-828-6093. 828-6093. Beginner Spanish Language Class, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. on September 28th, which is a Saturday. Bloomington Public Library Community Room. This is for ages 7 to adult. Registration is required. It is taught by the Modern Language Culture Institute. The second class will be held on October 5th, which is a Saturday. Bloomington Library may be called at 309-828-6093, 828-6093. NPL Used Book Sale Free Day, 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. tonight at the Normal Public Library. This includes free books left over from the book sale. Dungeons and Dragons, 5 till 8 p.m. tonight, Normal Public Library. It is for ages 12 to 18. Storytime with Art Squish Painting, 6:30 p.m. tonight, Bloomington Public Library Story Room, all ages with a caregiver. Tuesday, McLean County Genealogical Society, 7 p.m. in the Governor Pfeiffer Courtroom of McLean County Museum of History, Bloomington. The program will be After They've Seen Paris by Jim Hopp of Danvers at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. End of article. Cause of furniture store fire under investigation. Damage estimate expected soon. Pontiac. Billy Johnson was excited about the new bed the family had recently ordered from Wright's Furniture in downtown Pontiac. They had already removed that old bed, giving it away to make space for a new one, which was to be delivered Saturday. But when Wright's Furniture employee Tiffany Ward called Saturday, she had bad news to deliver instead of the bed. Quote, "It was just to tell me what was happening, and my new king bed was going to be lost in a fire," Johnson said. There was really no time for further explanation. Ward had already been ordered to evacuate the building. "That was so sweet of her," Johnson said. "I want to thank her for thinking of me. Everyone is so nice when we are shopping there." End quote. Johnson's bed was one of many pieces destroyed in a Saturday fire in that warehouse across the street from the main store at 115 East Madison, Pontiac. Ward promised the store would make good on it, but it may take time. They hope to reopen within days, but there will be a process to go through. At about 11:30 a.m. Saturday, smoke near a circuit breaker in the warehouse was noticed by one of Wright's sons, an employee of the store. The official cause has not yet been released, and officials are hoping to get a damage estimate today. Until that store reopens, Wright said he and his staff will do the best that they can. The fire also displaced the Duffy Ambulance Service at 122 East Howard Street, making for a stressful afternoon. Employees were faced with an unexpected dilemma. A fire was building next door, raising concerns about potential injuries. At the same time, equipment, including four ambulances, needed to be put out of harm's way. The employees on duty responded as quickly as possible. It didn't take long to find a new temporary home. That service will be located at Central Truck and Ag at 1 Industrial Court in Pontiac. No services will be lost because of the transition. Several fire departments were called to that scene, including Fairbury, Sonneman, Cullum, Odell, Shenoah, Dwight, Cornell, Gridley, Flanagan, Forrest, Lexington, Minunk, Reading, Chatsworth, Long Point, Streeter, El Paso, Gardner, and Towanda. Ambulances from Selkass and Dwight were also called in to assist Duffy Ambulance Service during the fire. The nearby Pontiac Public Library closed on Saturday after the fire was reported. It is not open on Sundays. Officials could not be reached for comment about possible damage or if it will reopen today. End of article. Flick fact from Sunday. In Illinois, what are the days you are most likely to get nailed with a speeding ticket? And which day is the slowest day for ticket writing? Answer. According to Illinois State Police statistics, up to 30% more tickets are written on Saturday and Sunday, compared with Tuesdays, consistently the slowest day for ticket writing. End of Flick Fact. Families celebrate autumn at ISU Horticulture Center. Normal. Flying tomatoes and spinning gourds drew families to the annual Autumn Festival at the Illinois State University Horticulture Center on Saturday morning. Quote, "It's just a beautiful place to be on a beautiful day," said Sue Geiger of Bloomington. With the center's explorer theme, kids ran through an obstacle course zigzagging and hurdling straw bales. "They've really added a lot more activities for the kids, so that's pretty cool," said Logan Frederick, after his 5-year-old daughter Paige tried to make an aged tomato splat against a wooden target. End quote. Though most came up short, both kids and adults got in on the fun of picking out a rotting or at least extra soft fruit or vegetable to catapult onto a large board with the help of a few ISU students. An Easter-style gourd hunt and a table for spinning tiny painted gourds kept many families busy. Through a mouthful of cookie, 4-year-old Calvin Juris said his favorite part of the day was when he got a trophy for finding a picture in a haystack at the end of the corn maze. S'mores, slushy apple cider, and other treats were available at the annual festival, which is the biggest fundraiser of the year for the Horticulture Center. "This helps students and faculty take care of plants and equipment," said Jessica Chambers, the center's director. "I am very thankful for the community." End of article. City to consider replacing building destroyed by fire. Sunday's paper. Bloomington. The Bloomington Public Works Department wants to replace a Lake Bloomington maintenance building which burned to the ground March 10th. The insurance claim amount is more than $500,000, but it is not finalized, Assistant Public Works Director Bob Yehl said Friday. Quote, "We're still working and coordinating with our claim provider to determine the total amount," he said. "That's building, contents, equipment, vehicle, tools, everything in that range." End quote. Public Works staff will present details of the next steps when the City Council meets for a work session at 6 p.m. tonight at City Hall. The department will recommend constructing a larger facility and relocating it closer to the city's water treatment plant at the lake, said Yell. The Hudson Fire Department has not responded to requests by the Pantograph for details about that fire. The fire was investigated by the Mutual Aid Box Alarm System, MABAS, 41 fire investigation team, said Yell. Quote, "The cause was undetermined based on the investigation done," he said. "It was not storming or lightning when I arrived on the scene late that night." End quote. The building housed a 2019 Ford F-250 truck purchased in April for $32,406 and a 2019 Bobcat 5600 worth $56,344. The Bobcat purchase price included a pallet fork attachment, which was also damaged in the fire. All other attachments were stored outside the building and were not damaged. Paper boat dock records stored in the building burned in the fire, but the city stores those records electronically, Public Works Director Jim Karch told the Pantograph in June. Quote, "Everything is saved digitally in an Excel spreadsheet, so we have the information needed for permits," end quote, said Karch. Also on the agenda for tonight's meeting are Lynn Cannon, Venue Works, Executive Director for the city-owned Grossinger Motors Arena, presenting the Fiscal 2019 Annual Report for the Downtown Entertainment Venue. The presentation will include highlights of the arena's financial performance, which posted a net operating loss of $270,922 for fiscal year ending April 30th. That's an improvement over VenueWorks' previous 2 years of managing the facility, which had operating losses of about $660,000 each year, Cannon said. The facility has operated for most of its 13-year history at a loss under VenueWorks and its former management firm, Central Illinois Area Management. VenueWorks' operating costs do not include the arena's construction bonds, capital improvement projects, or depreciation, for which the city is responsible. City Manager Tim Gleason will be presenting information drafted by the Illinois Municipal League, which represents local units of government and other state agencies, to assist municipalities rolling out a new state law that legalizes the use of marijuana beginning January 1st of 2020. The council last week approved forming a 10-member task force to help sort through related issues, including taxing, zoning, and whether to allow a cannabis dispensary in the city. End of article. Senior Palooza, caption under a picture. Barry Young performs during the inaugural Senior Palooza Music Festival on Saturday at Evergreen Place in Normal. As part of the center's celebration of Assisted Living Week, that event featured live music from local groups, food trucks, and Donnie B's popcorn were on hand. Donations were accepted to benefit the Alzheimer's Association. End of article. Divorces. The following divorce was recently finalized in McLean County Court. Wright, Tracy and Matthew Wright. End of article. Picture caption, Walk to End Alzheimer's. It showed participants beginning the 2-mile walk Saturday morning during the 2019 Walk to End Alzheimer's Bloomington Normal on the Heartland Community College Normal campus. Hundreds were expected to take part in that event, raising more than $100,000 to go to the Alzheimer's Association for care and support programs and for research to help put an end to Alzheimer's disease, the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S. End of article. Building permits, Bloomington. IUVO Construction LLC Bloomington was issued a permit September 6 for $100,000 in improvements to a tenant space at 915 East Washington Street, Unit 4. Builders Sales and Service Company of Moline was issued a permit September 5 for $405,000 to remodel the mom's room and the locker rooms at State Farm Mutual Auto, 1 State Farm Plaza. In Normal, P.J. Hoare, Bloomington, issued a permit September 3rd for $550,000 at OSF Prompt Care lease space at 1730 Bradford Lane. Tennis Construction Management, Bloomington, issued a permit September 6 for a $112,000 single-family detached home at 310 Bon White Way. Parker Builders, Bloomington, issued a permit September 10th for $290,000 at the Monsignor's House remodel at Epiphany Catholic Church, 1006 East College Avenue. And Lemons Construction Bloomington issued a permit September 10th for $100,000 for a Wolf Salon lease space at 1717 Fort Jesse Road. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the first half of the Bloomington paper, The Pantograph, on Monday, September 16th. At this time, we will take a short break.